Today we reach the end of our series, More Than Enough, looking at how people's encounters with God's grace change their lives forever. We've looked at a range of different people and seen how God wants to include everyone in his plans and purposes. Those who are socially marginalised, like Zacchaeus, the tax collector, or the Samaritan woman with a string of failed relationships, encounter God's transforming grace and find that they belong. Mephibosheth, with his physical disability, is invited to dine at the king's table and become part of his family. Gideon becomes an agent of change and peace because he trusted in God's strength rather than his own. David is not overlooked because of his youth and inexperience, but he's chosen by God of all the sons of Jesse to be the king of Israel. And today we're at the other end of the age spectrum. Anna, who physically encounters God at the end of her life in the person of the baby Jesus in the temple. And appropriately, her name, Anna, means grace. Anna is only mentioned in three verses in Luke chapter 2. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they'd been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshipping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Anna is probably best known because she was very old. And I have to confess, that is why I have chosen to speak about her today. She is the inspiration for the wonderful work of Anna Chaplaincy, an interdenominational network which works to promote and support spiritual care amongst older people, and of which we are a member. This picture of Anna was painted recently by a Benedictine nun at Morling Abbey. I wonder what you would define as very old. Probably about 20 or 30 years older than you are now. We don't know exactly how old Anna was. It's hard to work out from the text whether she was 84 years old or whether she'd been a widow for 84 years, which, assuming she married at 14, would make her 105. Either way, she's described as very old. Other references to very old people in the Bible include Abraham and Sarah, who had Isaac when they were very old, and Zechariah and Elizabeth, who had John the Baptist when they were very old. Let's take a moment to remind ourselves how God sees older people. A key verse for the ministry of free seniors is Proverbs 4, verse 18. The ways of right living people glow with light. The longer they live, the brighter they shine. In Isaiah 46, we read, "Even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." And in Psalm 92, "The righteous will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green." God values older people. He has plans for them. They are an essential part of his family and his kingdom. And writing about this verse from Psalm 92, John Piper asks, Why would God tell us that? Because he wants us to dream that. He wants us to pray for that. To pray that we'll still bear fruit in old age, that we'll stay fresh and green. If you're ever stuck as to how to pray for your parents or grandparents, pray this. In her book, What's Age Got to Do with It?, Louise Morse writes that, contrary to what society may want to tell us, God did not make a mistake when he designed old age. Old people are his seniors, and they're here on purpose. The Lord designed it that way, so we would mature and become ripe emotionally and spiritually. Ripe fruit yields more juice, contains more nutrients, and is usually sweeter. And James Woodward wrote, "Growing old is about adding life to your years rather than just adding years to your life." So what else do we know about Anna? Well, firstly, we know that Anna was a widow. And so she was one of the most vulnerable people in society without a husband to provide for her. We can assume that she had no surviving family, otherwise they'd have taken care of her. Instead, she was dependent on charity, on the generosity of those working at or visiting the temple, who presumably gave her enough food and drink to survive on. Anna is an excellent example of the type of widow that Paul describes in his letter to Timothy. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. She is a wonderful role model for all widows and widowers. Secondly, Anna was a prophet. This time there had been no prophets for hundreds of years. And so the fact that she's described in this way is even more remarkable. Anna is living proof of what Joel had prophesied. "I will pour my spirit out on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men and women will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Paul considered the spiritual gift of prophecy as being highly desirable. And Anna had this gift. And she also had the opportunity to use it at just the right moment when Jesus was brought into the temple by his parents. Thirdly, Anna never left the temple, either because she lived there or because she spent all her time in public and private worship. Think of all the people that she would have got to know. Other worshippers, visitors to Jerusalem, possibly the priests and other employees of the temple. Think how many lives she was able to influence with her presence, her smile, her words, and most importantly, her prayers. Anna is described in just a few words, in a total of 3 verses of the Bible. A very old lady, a prophet, a widow, who never left the temple. I wonder how you'd be described if you had just 3 verses written about you. What would you like to be known for? Billy Graham once said, "I hope I will be remembered as someone who was faithful. Faithful to God's call. Faithful to the gospel. Faithful to the responsibilities and opportunities God gave me." So we've looked at who Anna was, but how did she respond to her situation? How did she spend her time? What did she do? Well, I believe that she had found the right balance between being and doing. Louise Morse again writes, "The human cycle moves us from a state of being as a child to doing as an adult to being doing as a senior. This is part of God's life design as it leads us into reflecting more on him and developing our relationship with him. I believe that Anna achieved this balance of being and doing perfectly. First of all, we know that Anna prayed. We read that she worshipped God with fasting and prayer. Anna was deeply involved in that most vital work of prayer and is such an encouragement to those of us who might be tempted to say, there's nothing I can do these days. Older people have the gift of time. How will you use that gift? I recently visited an older member of our church. She's in her late 80s herself, and she told me about her grandmother. This was a woman who'd grown up in a Christian household, married a Christian man, raised several children, and taken on a range of different roles within the church over the different ages and stages of her life. Now in her 90s, she would spend every day sitting in a chair. And every day she would read the newspaper through from cover to cover, praying her way through every page. She once told her granddaughter, "The Lord has kept my most important ministry until now." Secondly, Anna praised. When she sees Jesus, she gives thanks to God. The implication from this passage is that she gives thanks to God because she had a prophetic insight into who Jesus was, the promised Messiah, the Saviour of the world. But I'm sure that this was not a one-off event for Anna. I'm sure that in her life of worship, she had an ongoing attitude of thankfulness and gratitude towards God. Have you ever made a list, whether mental or actual, of the things that you want to thank God for today, this week, this year, or even throughout your life? It's a wonderful way to keep motivated and stay full of hope as we consider all that God has already done for us. And thirdly, Anna proclaimed. We read that she spoke about Jesus to all who were expecting him. This too was part of her spiritual gift of prophecy. God gave her words of revelation and she followed his prompting and spoke them out. It's as though the words of Psalm 71 were written just for Anna. "Now that I'm old and grey, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me." I'm going to read part of a poem called A Litany of Voices, which is by Janet Crawford and Eris Webb. And it captures the spirit of this verse perfectly. "I am Anna. I knew what to say. I did not keep silent in the temple. I knew God when I saw him and said so." Let's pray that this will be true of us too. That at the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we'll know what to say and we won't stay silent. The Bible is full of people who lived life full of the Spirit right until the end of their lives. St. Augustine wrote, "The new is not behind us, it's ahead of us, no matter how old we are. We must be careful not to let oldness take over our lives. We must grow and make progress. Our bodies may be falling apart, but our spirit can be renewed day by day. Let us not age in a way that makes us become old spiritually. Let newness grow in us. And in her book, Three Score Years and Then, Rena Taylor suggests a kind of mission statement for older people. I believe old age is a blessing from God. I believe I have a rightful place in the body of God. I believe in spiritual growth. I believe that God is with me at all times and in all circumstances. I believe that death is the gateway to heaven. I am sure that if she'd been asked, Anna would have agreed with all of these statements. In his grace, God encountered Anna in her old age and gave her an incredible prophetic revelation about the identity of Jesus. Like the grandmother I mentioned earlier, God reserved Anna's most important ministry till the very end of her life. In his book, Finishing Well, Ian Knox asks, what are we who have been spared to live right now going to do with our gift of life? Some of you will easily be able to identify with Anna, perhaps because of your age or because you're widowed. You may not be very old, you may not be a widow, but can I encourage you, like Anna, to pray, praise, and proclaim Jesus each day for the rest of your life, so that the longer you live, the brighter you shine. There's a wonderful passage in Philippians 3, which we're going to use to help us to respond to what God is saying to us today. It's Paul writing, and I'm reading the World English Bible translation. I press on that I may take hold of that for which also I was taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I don't regard myself as yet having taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus has taken hold of us, and he invites us to take hold of him and all the plans and purposes he has for us. We have a high calling. As you hear the story of Anna, a woman who lived wholeheartedly for God, however old you are, some of you may feel as though perhaps you've wasted your life, or perhaps not fulfilled your potential. You may feel unhappy in your present situation. Or when you look back, you're filled with regret and sadness. You may be afraid to face the future. God wants you to know that no matter what has gone before, you are always welcome in his presence. We can come with boldness and confidence before him as his children. He is the God of second, third, fourth chances, and his grace is always more than enough. If that's you, then I invite you now to let go of the past, to recognize your need of God, to give your life to Jesus, whether for the first or the 101st time. To be released, to receive his spirit of freedom and grace. The future can be the best part of your life, better. better than what's gone before. Let's take a moment to be quiet before God. Open your hands to him, and if you find it helpful, you can echo this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you with empty hands. I give you my fear. I give you my regrets. I give you my past. And I choose now to trust you for my future, because I know that your grace is more than enough. Thank you for the high calling I have as your child. Fill my hands and my heart with your Holy Spirit and set me free to live for you and worship you with all that I am. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, then please do let someone know so that they can pray with you and encourage you. And as we reach the end of this series, More Than Enough, Encounters with God's Grace, we'd love to hear your stories of how you have encountered God's grace, how he has touched your life, even just over these past few weeks. So please do get in touch with me or with Mark, so that we can share your stories and be encouraged together.